Welcome to today's podcast, which is presented in conjunction with Information Security Magazine's 10th anniversary issue. I'm Michael Mimoso, editor of Information Security, and I'll be talking to luminary Gene Spafford, founder of Sirius, the Center for Education and Research in Information Assurance and Security at Purdue University. Spaff is a prominent figure in the information security industry, with decades of experience as a researcher, instructor, and consultant to major corporations and government agencies. In today's discussion, Spaff discusses the biggest trends in security during the last decade, where the industry is headed, and he also takes a look back at some predictions he made in the 5th anniversary issue of Information Security Magazine. I started off my talk with Spaff about some of the important trends of the last decade.
It's difficult for me to sort of pick out any one or two most significant, for instance. Mm-hmm. If we kind of look at the picture, the whole landscape of security, mm-hmm. We see change in threat that I think has been not a surprise to some people who are looking at where IT has been going, and maybe a bit of a surprise to some people who were making predictions 10 years ago. But we have gone from a lot of malicious or exploratory or vandalism types of hacking into the realm where it is a very significant economic criminal activity. With well-organized criminal gangs, international overtones to the theft, not only for fraud, but for theft of intellectual property. And some of the criminal elements have ties to governments and various nation states where they operate. Mm-hmm. So wide-scale money laundering, economic espionage, I mean, all of these are related to economic activity, and I think that's interesting as a trend. And coupled with that has been the transformation of some of the kinds of attack tools and behavior, going from largely self-propagating kind of attacks or hacker toolkits into very automated, sophisticated, blended threats with a high reliance on social engineering for some of them, mm-hmm. That are stealthy. So botnets, for instance, rootkits, are all kind of prominent on the current landscape. And if we look at this is not terribly surprising for those of us who are kind of looking at trends, because it's very similar to the evolution of computer viruses, going from very crude to very stealthy and polymorphic self-defending and so on. So that's kind of the landscape of the attack picture, is this stealthy, widespread, automated, organized criminal activity has been coming from where we were 10 years ago.
Right.
another big change 10 years ago has in part been brought about because of the concerns over terrorism, mm-hmm. which don't really have as much application in the cyber realm, but the officials and their response have led to side effects in the cyber realm that we've seen, having to do with monitoring of communications, for instance,
right.
or use of the internet perhaps for clandestine communications and propaganda purposes. Not surprising, but it's a difference. I mean, again, This is something that I don't think anybody who really studied history and the technology got too surprised about. But we didn't see it 10 years ago, and we do see it now.
Right.
We've gone much more mobile with our computation.
Mm-hmm.
So perimeter defenses are not really very successful. I was recently giving a talk because my center here, the Sirius Institute, is 10 years old in May.
Okay.
And I was looking back 10 years ago, talking with people. I testified before a congressional committee in late '86 that there were only four university centers, and we were producing about two or three PhDs a year
mm-hmm.
in the field. And now, arguably, there's probably a good 20 research centers where there's a little bit of momentum. There's not a huge amount. There are only one or two of the size of what we are. And we're producing, perhaps this year, as many as 25 PhDs. Which is probably about a quarter of the nation's output. So that's a big change, but it's still way too small by at least an order of magnitude of producing the kind of expertise we need to deal with the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that in some respects is a little bit of a surprise, is that business, in particular, and government partially, still don't really take it seriously enough that they're willing to invest in it.
Right.
They're willing to sell point solutions, but very few have been willing to provide funding outside to fundamentally make changes that might not show up in next quarter's report and so on. Now, Microsoft has made that kind of investment, but it's not clear that they've gone all the way with it either.
Right.
As far as they could, but at least they have made an investment. Their whole secure computing initiative, had it not occurred, we would be in much worse shape than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are an awful lot of other vendors that also need to get with it, and the government really hasn't caught on to this arena the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
So in the realm of people, we still don't have enough people who are trained. We don't have enough people at higher levels who are taking the threat seriously and understanding that it's going to get worse, and that investment early is required. Sustained investment starting early is required to really make a difference in the long run. Otherwise, it'll be much more expensive as we get down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are all factors that I see in this changing landscape of security, that we have different kinds of threats, somewhat different kinds of problems, and not surprisingly, things have gotten worse over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've not gotten better. I mean, you look at any numbers: amount lost, number of break-ins, count of vulnerabilities discovered in software, number of attack tools, any of those kinds of things, and they've all continued to increase at least a linear rate. So it's a complex, I can't pick one of those to say one of those is the most important, because they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
But as part of the general landscape, that's kind of where I see things have gone.
What about the impact of legislation? And I mean, you know, pick whichever you care to, SOX, HIPAA. I mean, there's obviously some legal and government involvement now that has at least forced some level of investment in security. Is it enough? Is it just the right response to get government involved the way it has been, or was it just necessary due to the amount of data that's been lost and the break-ins and so forth?
majority of legislation that we've seen over the last decade has been directed towards narrow segments and addressing specific problems rather than generic issues. For example, the various legislative initiatives for changing copyright and trying to stop peer-to-peer. The ones you mentioned for compliance of business accounting is basically not so much to improve information security as it is to prevent hiding financial fraud.
Right.
The side effect is that companies that implement these mechanisms have to ensure some better information security, but it's a side effect. It was not really the intent of the legislation. Meanwhile, we have lots of problems with identity theft. CAN spam was ineffective, and people were saying that before it was even enacted. It showed a lack of understanding by legislators of the problem. We don't have sufficient laws in place to go after international misbehavior. We, of any kind, of a lot of the fraud, for instance, that goes on, there's just the legal tools just aren't there to go off and do the investigation. Identity theft, huge problem. We don't have laws in place. We still don't have appropriate legislation in place to have secured voting. So there are a number of issues here related to good information security and privacy, which I think is another aspect of this, where not only have we not gotten legislative initiatives in place that have made a difference, but some have actually made it worse. That things like the Patriot Act, for instance, has arguably hurt some issues of privacy and people's confidence in electronic systems.
I was going back over our fifth anniversary issue, and I found a column that you wrote, and it was the title SPAF's Crystal Ball.
Oh, gosh.
And you provided 8 predictions.
I have not looked at that in many years.
Is that right?
I remember it. So how'd I do?
You know, for the most part, you're on. A couple of them, they were obviously reasonable predictions, but just didn't come through. One in particular, I'm looking at insurance companies and liability lawyers will get more involved. That kind of never took place, although it made a lot of sense at the time. A lot of people were saying it. And why do you think that never happened?
I think the economics of it, in part, we never went down the path of collecting enough data or formulating the models so that risk could be predicted with some accuracy. And the second thing that has happened is we have effectively morphed into an environment where the consumers are silently paying the costs. So when there are massive breaches of credit card information, for instance, what has happened to date at least is the banks and the vendors have picked up the costs and passed them on to the consumers. With the overwhelming amounts of spam that are getting through, the ISPs are passing the costs of the filtering and the increased capacity on to their subscribers. And so rather than having companies have the risk shifted to them to cover losses, companies have quietly been passing all the risk on to the end consumers. That prediction may still come to pass when things like TJX, class action suit filed against them. I really foresaw that as the beginning. When we started getting class action suits, when we started getting aggrieved individuals filing suit against vendors for losing their information. I don't know how long it will take before the courts actually start finding in their favor and handing out substantial damages. But once that happens, that's more than the companies can pass on to the consumers.
Right.
And we'll have to see those third parties come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still not convinced that that won't come true, but I was probably being too optimistic for saying it would occur in the next 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple other things you went that you had predicted. Security problems with general purpose systems will get worse over the next few years.
That's happened.
Absolutely. The market for add-on security, firewalls, IDS, antivirus will continue to grow. Clearly it did. The others, consumers will embrace appliance-based computing.
What I hadn't foreseen there was the trend, a few of the trends both on hardware systems and on virtualization. So the appliance market didn't quite take off the way I thought it would, in part because the integrated management products never really matured enough to accommodate them.
Since Sirius is turning 10 years old as well, maybe it's appropriate to ask you what contribution are you most proud of personally from the last 10 years?
Probably the biggest contribution that I personally view here is moving forward to establish a sound base of science education and policy in this arena that back in 87, when we started Sirius, there were 4 faculty and 2 graduate students. And now we're up to 82 faculty, 14 staff, and probably about 80 students graduating 24 PhDs this year.
Mm-hmm.
That basis, the stuff that we've been producing here as a community, and that we've been able to help other schools get their programs started, and that we have served as a resource to try to keep people honest about what can and can't be done, I would view that as probably my biggest contribution.
Mm-hmm.
There are other bits and pieces along the way that I look back at as things, and I'll mention them in case you know you're interested.
Yeah.
Over the last decade, I've contributed a lot to several major reports, particularly ones that talk about challenges and problems, like the PTAC report, for instance, and the CRA grant challenges, and the InfoSec Research Council's hard problems list. So I've had a big impact on those. I feel reasonably good about trying to move those forward and keep those at a high level and not focused on the wrong kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
like viruses or web page defacement, which some people thought were grand challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is out in the business realm, the impact that Tripwire had, and that wasn't in the last 10 years. That's actually going back 15 years.
Yep.
But that's been a very major influence in the field and had a very, very important impact on security for organizations to care about that. And then more recently, I developed some of the ideas behind a new company called CygnusCert that is relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's focused on issues of authenticity and integrity, and I think that's going to be a major force in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I've been looking at the long-term problem of what's involved in actually trying to maintain a trustworthy enterprise. So I think those are other things that I also feel pretty good about.
Care to take a stab at any predictions for the next 10 years, or any maybe overarching trend that might be starting now that really takes shape in the next decade?
There are some that I've been thinking about and talking with my students, and so these don't perhaps have the benefit as much thought as I might otherwise.
Okay.
The first is we're going to have bigger and bigger problems with law enforcement because of international borders and the lack of attribution online. That's going to have to be addressed. I don't know when the politics and the economics will bring the world community together to actually address it in an appropriate way. When I've talked about this, I've sort of given as analogies the pirates of the Barbary Coast, and then even in the U.S. we have these the bank robbers who would rob trains and then cross the Mexican border, or the bank robbers in the Midwest who would rob banks in Chicago and then go across the border into Indiana where they never committed any crimes.
Yeah.
And in each of those cases, what ended up doing is we developed forces with new areas of operation to go deal with those problems, because they finally got to the point they were too much of a nuisance, they were too much of a problem. So I think that's a second issue that we have to look forward to, is virtualization as a fad or as a trend is going to continue, but after people start installing it, they're going to discover it doesn't really solve all of the problems and create some new ones that they hadn't anticipated, because fundamentally what it does is add complexity and dependence rather than remove it. And everything we know about security indicates that you have to reduce the complexity to be able to make progress. Third issue is that the complex interplay of advertising and government regulations and cheap storage means more and more information is going to be collected, which leads to more and more significant breaches of privacy. It will be an interesting social and economic dynamic to see at what point the public pushes back, if they do. So the Scott McNeely, there's no more privacy, get over it, could be where we go, where the majority of people simply say it's not worth it anymore, we want the benefit, we want the protection, whatever. Or it could get simply to the point where we are so fed up with identity theft and people being aware of what we do that we push back, similar to some of the EU data privacy laws, and try to come up with some international norms for privacy. I don't know which way that will fall, because there are so many factors that are involved there in terms of psychology and economics and so on. But related to that certainly is the issue that storage is increasing, it's cheaper, processing power will continue to increase and get more portable. We're going to have computers and storage embedded all over the place. The management of that and the back-end forensics when things go wrong are going to get much more complex. Those are areas that are going to need a lot more research, a lot more study than what we're currently investing in them. And those are growth areas for talent and tools, particularly as we see those systems penetrate new markets, new places, new uses. And last of all, I think the international threat is going to continue to get worse. And I sort of mentioned that earlier, but more of the world is getting wired, and in fact, we're putting $100 laptops in the hands of unsupervised children in third world countries where they don't particularly like the United States or Western powers in general. We have a number of altruists who believe that, gee, if only they learn to read and write, they will become productive citizens of the world. There are others who, from a more cynical point of view, say that without the economic infrastructure and resources and moral guidance, they're going to end up as a well-educated jihad. It may be in the middle of that, but it is unlikely to be all positive as more of the world comes online. So I have concerns there that we have vast new numbers of individuals, not always with shared motives and cultural beliefs, coming online, and we simply don't have the defenses in place. Whether they're legal or technical, we just don't have them in place.
That concludes our conversation with Gene Spafford. Remember to log on to searchsecurity.com/10th anniversary for more exclusive content related to Information Security Magazine's 10th anniversary issue. I'm Michael Mimoso, editor of Information Security. Thank you for listening.